This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 32 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Today our guest is Master Cecil of the Woodshed in Orlando. Here's our hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Sitting across the table is the Beast.
Good afternoon, Woody.
Good to see you again this week.
Yeah, but I am in that famous teleporter because we're headed for Orlando today.
Wow.
I know. We'll just come back from Chicago, and now we're headed for Orlando.
Well, you know, it is the magic of radio, isn't it?
It is the magic of radio.
With us on the phone is Master Cecil of the Woodshed in Orlando.
Hi, everybody. How are y'all?
We are so glad to have you with us.
Hey, Beast, Max is waving his hand around. I think he wants to read the bio. All right, take it.
Master Cecil has been involved in the lifestyle for about 30 years. When at 18, he was picked up by a submissive and shown that a flogger, properly applied, is a very good thing. Since 2008 he has been living his dream as the lucky owner and lead volunteer of the Woodshed in Orlando. Master Cecil became part of the public community when he attended the second ever Orlando Munch in 1993. The Woodshed is a dream that originated in the mid-90s after his first public play party that was held in a townhouse of about 800 square feet with at least 40 people packed into it. It was easy for him to see that Orlando was in dire need of a safe place to play. His dedication to SM education was the other driving force in his desire to open an SM communities center, providing the community with a safe place to learn.
We have included you as part of our Spotlight on Play Spaces series, and the Woodshed is really quite famous, certainly in the Southeast, and from what I hear, some of my friends out on the Left Coast know well about it too. How did you and the Woodshed come about?
The Woodshed was a dream that was first dreamt back in 1993. When I went to my very first play party, went to my very first public play party anyhow, the one after the bunch, they had a play party. And for some reason, I got invited to the play party after my first munch. I have no idea why they did that, because that's not a very sound practice, in my opinion.
But they knew the character. They could tell.
I must have made a good impression or something. I must have spun the right amount of crap or something. I don't know. But there were about 45 of us in no more than 900 square feet, split level townhouse, and
that must have been cozy.
Oh, it was so cozy that you couldn't even swing your hands without touching somebody inappropriately, let alone swing a flogger and actually have some fun. But at that point, I realized, wow, you know, Orlando could really use a play space. As I continued to go to the munch and go to play parties and be more active in the community, I was quite honestly scared and sometimes appalled by the level of education that some of our people had.
Is that the lack of education you mean?
Yes, the serious lack of education that some of our people had. That kind of began the dream of the Woodshed. The moniker of the Woodshed is a safe place to learn and a safe place to play, in that order. That's the order that we try to put it in everywhere we go. Education is so huge throughout our lifestyle, because what we do is inherently dangerous and can be quite dangerous if done inappropriately or improperly. So we're really, really big on educating, and we do demonstrations at the drop of a hat. You know, somebody walks in and says, hey, I'd like to learn fire play. Most likely within 30 minutes, there's going to be somebody on a table with a fire play top, with a person that knows how to do it, knows how to teach it, and a person that likes to receive it on the table. And the person that asks the question is going to be standing on the other side of the table watching and learning. Even though they may have asked, hey, I'd like to feel fire play, we're going to show it to them first. And then we're going to, you know, then we're going to give them a demo on it.
How big is the community in Orlando?
Pretty substantial. I would say overall, the whole community, somewhere around 3,000 souls. I know just our Orlando woodshed clients is definitely in the 2000s.
Wow. That's a big membership.
Yes.
The total membership of the woodshed is over 6,000. But that is everybody that's ever signed and been accepted.
What are your criteria for acceptance?
What we do is we vet people on the backside, which is kind of unusual. If you're brand new and you're coming into a play space and you have to have three references, you're never going to get in. You're never going to be able to do that. So what we do is we vet people on the backside. We give everybody a provisional membership the day they show up. They know that it's provisional. If you have a major consent violation or if you really screw the pooch pretty hard, your provisional membership will be revoked. Now, our standard operating procedure is that if somebody, you know, screws up, we educate them the first time. We give them a fairly strong education on the second time, and the third time you're gone. We've been very lucky, though. We've only had to ban definitely less than a dozen people in this nearly 7 years we've been open, which is really, really, I think, a good, you know, a good average.
That's a phenomenal ratio. So you actually had 6,012 applications.
Yes, or more, yeah.
Or more, yeah.
That, those were very round numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great to hear that you are so education-oriented there because we see such a gap around the country, especially when you get out into the smaller places. There just is not the resources for it.
Yeah, I agree. That's actually a bit of a fallacy. Because let's say, I live in Orlando, and there's a small group up in North Carolina that just got one of my riggers that is actually a national-level rigger. They got together, they paid for his gas, they gave him a place to stay, and I think they only spent like $300 to get him up there for an entire weekend. You know, education is available if you know where to go to get it. And you may not be able to go to your local community. You may have to go out of network, so to speak. But it is available. I mean, Darcy and I, my significant other and I, travel the entire United States doing this. We go literally all over the country. Matter of fact, last weekend before last, we were in Madison, Wisconsin. The weekend before that, we were in Tampa. We do St. Louis, Missouri. We do Cleveland, Ohio, just all over the bloody country, all the time. So if you can afford to get somebody to you, you know, you can have some good education.
It does require a bit of organization on the receiving part, though.
It can be as small as, you know, the local VFW or something like that, or you can be as big as a ballroom, you know, and where you're actually charging people to come in and, you know, you're not relying on donations.
Yeah, the VFW, that's an interesting thought. I'm sure that they'd find that interesting.
Yeah, the VFW is actually fairly receptive to our kind. In general, they don't really give a shit.
I'll have to mark that down.
Yeah, that is new information for us.
Yes.
Okay, so our listeners are going out calling the VFW.
Yeah, you can call the VFW. You can also call hotels. Even the smaller hotels will most of the time will have some amount of conference space. Even if it's only 300 square feet, that's enough to seat 50 people.
And it's relatively cheap, too.
Yeah, yeah. And if you charge everybody $5, which is totally doable, I don't think anybody would balk at a $5 afternoon seminar on something that they want to learn about, then you can put those things together. We consider ourselves somewhat of an educational clearinghouse for the Southeast United States and farther away. If any of your listeners out there are thinking about putting something together, please feel free to hit me up on FetLife or at Cecil@thewoodshedorlando.com, and we'll do what we can to put the right education in the right place for you.
You have a great network of people that you can recommend. I know some of the people that are attached to the woodshed.
Yeah, but because we travel so much and because we bring these people in so much, Darcy and I and the woodshed itself actually has a pretty damn good network really throughout the United States.
We saw you at Southeast Leatherfest in Atlanta, and you were judging the the contest there. You're just a really vibrant person that everybody loves you in the community. And I was just amazed to see how many people came up to you and to say hi.
It was so nice to be at Southeast Letterfest. And if you don't mind me giving a shout out, I would really strongly support that show and Beyond Leather both. The leather aspects of Southeast Leatherfest were just really, it actually made me cry several times during the weekend because it was so much like the old times that it actually brought a tear to my eye several times that weekend. I had some of the cutest little people coming up chasing me saying, "Oh, you're Master Cecil, would you sign my pledge book?" Because wow. they were pledging a leather club. And it's been so long since that's happened, and it was so nice. And it was three different wonderful little girls that were pledging a leather club, and it was really, it really touched my heart. And several other things that happened that weekend were really, really impressed me, and it makes me want to go back. Matter of fact, I've already put in my presenter application for next year with Southeast Leatherfest. I hope that they'll invite us back as presenters.
You had mentioned the difference between the older time and currently. Could you elaborate on that
bit? Well, it's different throughout the country. You know, a lot of people say, well, the old guard did this and the old guard did that. Well, you got to remember that the old guard didn't have the internet, and they weren't necessarily a homogenous bunch. You know, East Coast and West Coast is completely different. Not to mention the hanky code's exactly backwards.
That's good to know, too, yeah.
That's very good to know.
Yeah, it's real good to know that when you go on the other coast, you flip that hanky on the other side. You know, you'd be flagging fisting bottom and not know it. It's like, oh, no.
Oh, my.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, like, hello, McFly, yeah. You know, the ways that I was brought up with here in Orlando were some, you know, older in nature, and, you know, we had pledges, and we had people earning their way in, and we had people earning their way up. And, you know, when I see a pair of boots on a person, a pair of leather boots on a person, I expect that person to have be on their path. In other words, the person has to at least know how to maintain the boots, and then they have chosen their path in our lifestyle. And that's when you get your boots, is so that you can walk your path. You follow?
Absolutely.
And a pledge book. A pledge book is such an amazing thing, because 10 years from now, you're going to look back at that. You're going to cherish that for all the years of your life. And 10 years from now, you're going to look back at that. And 20 years from now, you're going to look back at that and say, oh, my God, I am such a different human than I was then. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I don't want to sit here and espouse the beauty of leather. You know, it is a subset of who we are, and it is a subset of the BDSM community, and it is the subset that I identify with. But you guys don't want to hear a big old talk on leather, because I can totally do it.
Master Cecil, it's very important, I think, to talk a little bit about the leather lifestyle, because we often refer to it, but we often don't know what it is. And when I say we, it's the collective we. Our audience,
yes.
Some of them are leather people, some are not. And a lot of the people that are coming in, what we call the 50 Shades generation, don't know anything about the leather generation.
The onus is on us as, you know, quote unquote, the old farts, to actually educate them on that and give them that sense of history, you know, of culture. You know, we are a subculture, and in that culture is history, is art. We have our own art. If you don't believe that, go look at Drummer Magazine. You know, go dig up an old Drummer Magazine. We have our own ways of communicating. We have our own protocols. All of these things lead you to be a sub-community. You are not just some kinky dude out on his own. You are part of something that is grand and is much bigger than yourself, and is also gives you roots. You know, gives you a sense of solidarity with others. that I think is important. Once you have chosen to live this life. Now, if you're just coming in and getting your kink on, or you're just a bedroom kinkster, which is totally fine and absolutely acceptable, then that's, you know, you don't really need all of that. But if you do choose this to be your lifestyle, then I think it's endemic upon the person that has chosen the lifestyle, and also upon us that have been around a while, to lead them along and give them that sense of history, that sense of belonging, that sense of who they are, and who they are based on what our lifestyle is all about.
I think one of the misunderstandings is a lot of people think when they hear leather, they immediately put the word gay with it.
That's a debatable thing. You'll hear a whole lot of New York City dames say that leather started there.
Right, and a lot in San Francisco say it started there. So
absolutely, and again, long distance phone calls back then were a buck a minute. Mm-hmm. You didn't make those calls unless you had to. You know, it's not like you were able to, as you and I are talking right now. You guys are in Virginia. I'm in Orlando. Or at least that Virginia came up on the phone. I have no idea where you're at.
We're actually in Nashville.
And we're talking completely free. Back in those days, and not that bloody long ago, 10 years ago, you couldn't make a long-distance phone call without, you know, having an investment. And obviously, kinky people are often poor, you know.
Yes,
so you just,
often true.
They just didn't make those, they just didn't make those phone calls. And there was no big homogenous thing that, you know, everybody adhered to, other than, you know, SSC came around in the 70s, the 80s, really. So SSC was kind of a moniker that we all, you know, okay, yes, I play safe, sane, and consensual, and that's fine. And then when you get further along and you go, well, things that are sane to me and things that are sane to you are probably a little different.
And then, of course, the word safe is a little bit of a misnomer also.
Agreed, because safe to me is nobody went to the hospital, whereas safe to you may be nobody bled.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's absolutely untrue with me. You know, a little bit of blood's a good time, in my opinion, as long as it ain't mine.
Oh, you're such a top. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know. So safe state. Now, consensual, of course, is consent. Consent is consent is consent. And I'm very happy to see the new consent movement that I believe is happening in our lifestyle, at least along the East Coast. And I think it's coming along on the West Coast as well. We're doing a much better job, I believe, on negotiations and what is consent and what is not consent. And no, you did not consent to being groped and grabbed just because you walked into a play space. When I give people tours here at the Woodshed, the way that you become a member is you sign a mess of paperwork, you pay your $30, and then you get a tour. The reason for that is we kind of homogenize everything that happens here. You know, everything is, you know, everybody's playing by the same rules because we have gone over them with you personally. But one of the things that I'll say on the tour is you are actually safer here than you are at a bar downtown, because at a bar downtown, it would not be unusual for a lady to get grabbed or rubbed up against or something like that. And here, that is absolutely unacceptable. It often makes people feel more at ease when they find that out.
And of course, the next level down in the pecking order, there would be playing in a private place or in a hotel where you have no idea what you're going to get.
That's one of the things that actually drove me very hard to open the Woodshed, is because virtually every decent-sized town has at least once a month they have a munch. Well, in most towns, that's the only place to meet and greet. And, you know, some of us don't have a lot of patience. And we'll meet somebody on the Internet, and we'll talk to him for 6-8 months, and we'll believe that he's got too high class of a job for him to be able to come out to a public to the munch, when in reality he's already been banned from the munch. But we don't know that because we haven't checked. And then we'll meet him at a Denny's that's attached to the hotel where he's already got a hotel room, and, oh, well, okay, I'll go up to your room with you. And then things end up happening that shouldn't happen. The incidence of rape in our lifestyle was actually quite high, much higher than the average, much higher than the norm. And statistically, when you have a public play space that's available to people, the incidence of rape in within our community goes way below the norm, way below the norm. To wit, I've heard of 5 rapes in our community, in the Orlando community, in the nearly 7 years we've been open. That's 5, almost 6,000 people. That is really, really small. Where the normal statistics on rape in Orlando are 36% of ladies will be raped in Orlando, and then over 50% of them, it'll happen again.
Cecil, that's an incredibly high number. I assume that's in the 18 to 34 range of women that are going into the club scene.
It is. Well, when you look at the numbers in your local town, you'll find out that you're probably right around the same numbers. It is absolutely a pandemic in the culture of the United States of America, not in the leather culture. But it is a pandemic. It's horrible. And we're very, very, very proud of the fact that the incidence of rape is so low in the Orlando BDSM culture, because they have a common place to meet. They have a place where they can meet and greet. And quite honestly, you know, if a person says, well, I don't like to go to that woodshed, then it's a matter of, well, why? Well, you know, I don't like to be seen in public. Well, why? Well, I've got a really high-class job. Well, so do other people that go there. I know that doctors, lawyers, heads of surgery, even a couple of judges go to the woodshed. So what job do you have?
That's so special.
You follow me?
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, they can call bullshit.
See, so there's another side to that. And if you're playing in a public space and a bottom cries rape the next day, the fact is that you have people watching you play, and people can defend you and say, no, wait a minute. I watched him play with her, and she was not treated beyond what would call, you know, normal BDSM play. Tops are at risk of rape charges.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely true. And that's another service that we provide here, because everybody was watching, basically. You know, no, they were quite happy. You know, there were 30 other people there that night, and they were, you know, that lady left on her own 2 hours before the guy, and everybody was happy. So it goes both ways.
Great information.
Cecil, how do people find the woodshed? Up in Nashville, we're very careful about our play space locations. How do people find the woodshed?
If you Google around, you know, the BDSM Orlando, Dungeon Orlando, and if you happen to know the name Woodshed Orlando, if you go Woodshed Orlando, we're the top 5 picks, and we don't pay for any of them. If you go Dungeon Orlando, there's some bloody bar here called the Dungeon, and after you get past him, we show up, because he's prolific. I mean, he's all over everything. Then if you go BDSM Orlando, you're going to get us, and you're going to get the Orlando Munch, and then off of the Orlando Munch, you'll get us, and off of us, you'll get the Orlando Munch. And then, of course, there's always the good old Pet Life, and if you search Orlando on Pet Life, or especially Orlando events, we constantly have a tremendous amount of events up. Like this weekend, Master Obsidian and Slave Namaste, who are international level presenters and quite good, are going to be here all weekend doing a weekend symposium on the master slave dynamic, or the dom sub dynamic. Darcy and I actually teach that on a national level, and we both plan on being in every class they offer this weekend. I mean, these people are that good.
When you say every class they offer, how many classes would they be holding?
They'll be holding, I believe, 7 total. 1 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 3 on Sunday.
So that way you can cycle a lot more people through, or are they different levels of classes?
They all build one on the other. There'll be several communications classes, and then negotiation class, contracting, stuff of that nature. Virtually everything in the master-slave dynamic or the dom-sub dynamic is covered within this weekend symposium. And, of course, we're charging for it because obviously we have to fly them in and we're putting them up, you know, and stuff of that nature.
Well, it sounds like an incredible class.
Oh, it's an amazing weekend. Yeah. I've taken one or two of the classes already at various conventions that we've been out throughout the United States. Matter of fact, we always see them at Beyond Leather down in Fort Lauderdale. We always make sure that we go to their classes because they have some wonderful classes. You know, we look up to them as being better than us on the MS dynamic and the DS dynamic. We're able to actually learn from them when we actually go out and teach it on a national level. That's what we try to do, though, is when we book in presenters, we try to book in presenters that are, you know, a cut above, or it's bad to say a cut above, but you understand what I mean. They definitely bring knowledge to the table that you don't have locally. And then that allows the local people to come out and learn and get a different perspective often and possibly change their life. When we go out and we teach relationship classes, we have people coming up to us afterwards. Almost 15% of the class will come up to us afterward, and about 5% of them will be crying and say, "You've changed my life, and you've changed my life for the better, and I'm so thankful to you." And Obsidian and Namaste surely get more than that. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to go out and do that. It's such a blessing to go to these places and have these talks with people and make their lives better and make their understanding deeper and let them lead a more full and enriched life. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to be able to do those things.
So, Cecil, education is a cornerstone there at the Woodshed. What about the play aspects? Is it a play space too?
We're pretty damn high. We allow up to 6-foot bull whips. We also teach people how to do up to 6-foot bull whips. I'm one of the people that uses them, actually. That's one of my favorite things to use is a bull whip. Blood is fairly common, but we also hold that off until later. We don't allow the really serious players, so to speak, to get neck deep until about 11 or midnight. And the reason for that is then all the newbies have seen a little bit of, you know, the lighter side of play. So we don't, they're not running out of the door like their hair's on fire as soon as they walk in, you know. "Oh my God, that man was beating that poor woman, blah, blah, blah," you know, or "That woman was beating that poor man. Did you see what she did to his nuts?"
It gives new meaning to the term flaming redhead.
Yes, sir, it does.
How big a place do you have there, Cecil?
We've actually got 6,000 square feet that's divided into 2-3,000 square foot dungeons. We try to spend the community's money wisely, and we only air condition what we need. Tonight we've got a class going on in one of our dungeons, and of course, the other dungeon is open for play, so both of them are getting air conditioned right now, which in Florida is an expense that you watch.
I bet.
And now yeah. This for our listeners, the Kinky Cast records on a Thursday night, so that means that there's play going on in Orlando on a Thursday. So how many nights a week do you have stuff going on, Cecil?
We're actually open Thursday, Friday, Saturday right now, and we have a men-only night on Wednesdays. Only men are allowed on Wednesdays. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday are all pansexual play. And pansexual to us really does mean pansexual. We don't really care what you're sleeping with, you know. Ooh, come on in and have some fun.
He said what, didn't he?
Yeah, said what.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay, as long as whatever you're sleeping with can consent and is above 18.
Okay. so you have
somewhat human.
So that's a very, very busy play schedule, and a lot of communities they're lucky to have a Friday night play party, and you're playing for 4 nights a week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And we feel we have the space. If we can pay for the AC, you know, and pay for the lights, then we might as well open. you know, we have a lower bar for when we will open. Thank the gods above, all of our people here are volunteers. Nobody actually collects a paycheck here at the woodshed, including myself. So all we really have to worry about are the electrical costs for a night of opening.
And for our listeners, they are going to make the trek to Orlando for whatever reason, and they want to visit the woodshed. How do they go about that?
All they really have to do is show up with ID and some method to pay $30 a person. And that will get them their provisional membership. That's all they need for the night. We do sell soft drinks and waters and juices and candy. We have coffee and snacks for free. All they have to do is Google Woodshed Orlando. And like I said, we're the top five picks. We actually have a Google Place, so you can tell your smartphone, navigate to the Woodshed Orlando, and it will do that, which is kind of cool.
So you have one of those miracle pens that appear on my phone occasionally.
Yeah.
And let's say they're visiting on Saturday night. What are they likely to find going on? How many people?
On a Saturday, well, Saturday's obviously our busy day. And on Saturday, they can expect to see a tremendous amount of rope. We are actually internationally renowned for our rope. That happened by hook and by crook, by the way. I'll tell you that story in a minute if you want me to.
Absolutely, please. Yes.
They'll see a tremendous amount of rope. They'll see a fair amount of impact play. They'll see pressure points, wax, flogging, crops, canes, the normal BDSM stuff, as well as a fair amount of whips, some big whips. There's about four of us that play with big whips, which we consider 5 foot and above to be a big whip. They'll have what we call the woodshed experience, which is truthfully a unique experience. And this sounds pompous, but I hear this from every person that comes from another play space. We engage our people, and we want them to leave better than they came. We want them to leave with a new skill, or we want them to leave with the fact that they know that they're part of something bigger, or we want them to leave with something that they didn't have when they showed up. And that's something that all of my DMs and all of my staff members are very good at giving, or they're very good at doing. My DMs are actually picked because they're teachers. It's not just because you've got 20/20 vision and you can holler, "Get off my lawn, kids," well. You know?
How many DMs do you have?
We have probably around 11 DMs, maybe 12 right now. But we normally have about 4 or 5 on a night, depending on if we have both dungeons open. If we have both dungeons open, we can squeak by with 5, but we really need 8. You know, that's enough to get both sides going.
What are your dungeon rules regarding fluid exchange?
Fluid exchange is acceptable. We do ask that people wear gloves unless they're in a committed relationship or they know the person very, very well. We actually, because of the local laws, we actually don't allow sex. We don't allow what your parents would call sex. Fingering, fisting, dildos, Hitachis, etc., totally okay. Matter of fact, we even own a Sibian.
Cool.
And we don't even rent it out for an extra charge because that's fun to watch.
Oh, Sibian night is a great thing. Yeah. Great spectator sport.
Yeah. I am just trying to imagine an 18-year-old boy, an 18-year-old girl trying to convince daddy that him fisting her wasn't really sex.
According to the law.
I'm just trying
to
imagine that.
If you confess an 18-year-old, you'll be doing, you know, you deserve my kudos. Thanks that much.
The beast has extremely small hands.
I'm just delicate.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a delicate flower.
Yes, you are.
So, Cecil, it sounds like that the woodshed is very geared towards educating constantly all of the visitors.
Yes, sir.
So you all are well prepared for this 50 Shades onslaught that that's predicted come February?
We're pretty well prepared for it. We're also, we've been living that. We've been living that since the dawn of the internet. The internet changed the BDSM lifestyle in such a huge way. And I'm one of them old crotchety fucks that's old enough to remember before the internet. The internet changed our world in such a huge way that that this is just the next iteration of the change that the internet brought. And when the books came out, we got a bump. You know, we had people coming in to our BDSM 101 class that we do first Thursday of every month. We had people coming into that going and sitting down with big wide eyes. They're really in a dungeon. And the dungeon that we do that in happens to be red. So the red room, oh my God, I'm in the red room, you know, when they read the book.
Oh, some husbands were in for a rough couple of days after that.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, either that or they got on board, one of the two. And, you know, one of the problems, especially with existing marriages, is the princess principle. I'm sure that you gentlemen were raised the same way I was, and my daddy told me if I was ever to raise a hand to a woman, he would kill me.
Oh, I am very, very familiar with with the conflict that arises in many men between giving the woman the fantasy that's in her mind and even his own desires and what culture and society has taught him is proper. It's a huge conflict for many men.
Absolutely, and it's a huge thing that we have to get people over. You know, when somebody's kneeling in front of you with a flogger in their hand, eyes bowed, and says, please use this on me.
Oh, that's so hot.
Oh, it's hotter than hell. Oh my God.
Oh.
And I am quite lucky that it happens almost twice a month for me down here. It's very happy. But then the guy goes through, or the top, doesn't matter. It could be a woman. You know, not to be sexist at all. I mean, I am a male dom female subdynamic, but this is totally true of the women as well, the female tops. Because often they were raised, they were tomboyish, you know, or they weren't, but, you know, sometimes they were. And don't ever hit a woman, you know, don't you ever hit a woman. Don't you ever hit anybody was always given to the ladies. It's something that we have to get them over. And once we get them over it and they see the results, the extremely positive results, now they're okay. But it sometimes takes two or three times.
Two or three times, you have a great system there. I'm thinking I need to come down and study under you for a bit.
Absolutely. Count me in.
We'd love to have you, gentlemen. We'd love to have you. Now, to get back to the 50 Shades thing, when we were doing the BDSM 101, well, we still do the BDSM 101 classes every Thursday, but right after the books came out, we'd often ask, okay, who read 50 Shades of Grey? And normally 90% of that hands would go up. And the next statement was, okay, we're not all crazy and we're not all weird, but yes, many of those things do happen. You know, we don't do this because we were abused children, you know.
No, that's a huge thing that I worked to dispel when I was teaching a class to social work majors is that we are not abused children. We come into this with full knowledge and consent and even a struggle to overcome our cultural and societal upbringing to do these things. So no,
exactly, yeah.
I know where you're coming from. You were mentioning that you're known for your rope. You said there was a story there.
Yes, we are. Well, if you look at my profile on FedLife, which is just Master Cecil, you'll see a suspension that is a triangle, an inverted triangle of women bisected by another woman. We did that suspension back at Woodshed 1, which was our first location. We're on our second location now. Probably the year we opened. And it was a rather unique suspension. And we're like, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever done this anywhere. So we literally took that picture and shipped it all over the world to everybody we knew and said, hey, have you ever seen this done before? And to the man, they all came back with no. And we're like, well, shoot, we done something good, you know? And as a byproduct of us shipping that picture all over the world, everybody assumed, oh, my God, these guys must be the rope gods.
So you were forced to rise to the occasion here.
Absolutely, and it was a scary, bloody rise, let me tell you. I had a porn star come in here, a West Coast porn star come in probably 3 years ago. And she says, oh, so you're Master Cecil, you're the East Coast rope god. And I said, I am far Strum, the East Coast rope god. But I will gleefully put you in the air and give you a good time. And she goes, okay, we'll do that.
And coming from those lips, that was invitation you could not turn down.
Well, absolutely not. I mean, that would just be poor customer service, wouldn't it?
It would be totally, totally impolite.
Absolutely. Bordering on rude, I might say.
And Lord knows we're not rude in the South, are we?
Absolutely, sir.
Just pulled up this picture. That is pretty incredible work.
Thank you.
And the women are equally incredible in that. And how many people did it take to rig this photo?
Two people rigging, myself and Master Penguin. Rigged the first one, and the second one, which is probably the one that's on my profile, the second time we did it, we had three people rigging, which was myself, Master Penguin, and a guy named Smoke out of Key West, who is, by golly, a damn good rigger. Just a real, and a pretty darn fine gentleman, too.
And what are the girls hanging from? That looks like something that I remember from my days on the farm.
It is. It's an ox yoke. It's a yoke that for a team of oxen, for two oxen, and it is a single point suspension in that there's one point that goes to the hoist, but the ladies are actually hanging from an ox yoke.
Wow, and I have heard of pervertibles, but this is a new one on me.
I'm going to go look for some ox yokes.
Right?
Yeah, I have heard a pony play, but anyway, this is a totally different thing. How many feet of rope is any rough idea how many feet of rope are in this? Because I know many of our listeners are going to be jumping out there and looking at this picture.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I have no idea. I would say upwards of 250 feet.
Wow.
Probably more than that, actually. Now that I think, that is probably more like 500 feet of rope in there. Let's see, there would have been 30, 60, plus 15, plus 15, so there would be 90 feet of rope on each girl, and then plus the rig ropes.
We will put a link on the our Hot Links page so that the FetLife members can go see that picture.
And
oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
And we just skipped over to another picture that underscores the fact that the woodshed and many communities around the country like it are one big happy family in a way, a twisted family, but still, we're looking at your Christmas photo.
Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that cool?
That is cool.
I love that. That's so good.
That was Mr. Lido on FetLife. It was his concept, and we actually put that together in like 4 days. That was a normal night we were open. And we got a mess of people involved, and they brought, you know, Christmassy kind of stuff. And what we actually did it for is we were hoping that picture would go on the front page of FetLife back when they did a picture drive. I think you may or may not remember.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We were hoping that would be their Christmas picture, but the boogers didn't pick it.
We'll have to. We talked to John just a few weeks ago, and we'll have to chide him the next time, and that he needs to make that his Christmas picture for this year at least.
It was quite the fun time.
And I see a lot of different fetishes in there. I presume that the woodshed does encompass many different fetishes, not just the traditional BDSM and leather, but some of the more modern takes on the fetish, such as rope, obviously, and littles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a fair amount of, well, okay, we'll probably have 3 to 5 littles on a Saturday night.
So not a lot, but they are represented. And what mm-hmm. else might a visitor see before 11? Now, and then we'll ask what they'll see after 11.
Before 11, you'll see the standard, you know, flogging, suspensions, floor work with rope, you know, floggers, crops, canes, oh my, you know, that kind of stuff. And then after 11, you know, after 11 midnight, depending on the crowd, then you'll start seeing the bigger whips come out, the real, you know, the single tails, the snake whips, the bull whips, and blood will be drawn, you know, stuff of that, and then the torture rope will happen. Also after 11, where you're doing breath play with rope, you're doing compressions with rope and things like that. We actually have on a Sunday a rope dojo that meets here every Sunday that two of my DMs teach. And they teach all aspects of the Japanese style of rope. And some, obviously the Japanese style of rope originated as torture rope. You know, it was originally for the shogun to tie their prisoners. So it originally started as, you know, not this nice fluffy stuff that we do with our girls these days, girls and guys these days.
Yeah, I am looking at another rope picture. Looks like it reminds me of a slaughterhouse. There isn't no other way to put it. And I see male flesh and I see female flesh, and they're all in different types of harnesses.
Undress.
Yeah, yeah. An undress. And I see so many happy faces.
Yeah, yeah, that one was a concept that I think I came up with, actually. And you got it right. We were going for the slaughterhouse look, and we were hoping for 20 people. We ended up with 11, and that was just right anyhow. That was okay. And we laid them all down. You know, everybody laid down along a long piece of pipe, and we had three hoists that were all timed. They were all the exact same hoist, and they were all brand new. So we knew they'd go up and down at the same rate. We tied all the people to the pipe, and then we hoisted the pipe and hoisted them all at once. So it was a little bit of a cheat in that we used the hoists. But it would have been grueling on the first person.
Oh yeah.
If we hadn't have, you know, done it that way. And we used one of our signature ties there. All of the people had what we call penguin feet, which is a rope weave that we do on the ankle and the foot that is actually quite comfortable. People have stayed up in that suspension for over 40 minutes upside down and not had a problem.
That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
Is this the woodshed one or two that we're looking at on this picture?
If it's the darker walls, if it's in that picture, that's woodshed one.
I'm seeing artwork on the walls and a very dungeon motif. Woodshed two. What kind of motif do we have going on?
We still have artwork on the walls. Most of it donated by a local lady here called Bunny of Death on FetLife, who is a local artist. Yeah, she's a great gal. And she painted many of our walls already, and she's got a couple more things that we're going to put up in our primary dungeon. But if you look on the Woodshed's website, you can see pictures of the location on the Woodshed's website, which is www.woodshedorlando.com.
And for our listeners, repeat that one more time.
www.woodshedorlando.com.
So there are two great attractions in Orlando for our listeners to visit then.
Well, we call ourselves Adult Disney World. you know, you go to Disney with the kids, you wear out the kids, you put them with the sitter, because all Disney hotels give you sitters. And then you come out, you know, you save that little bit of strength and you come out and you have kinky Disneyland yourselves.
And I am looking at your website now, and Lou Rubens has been one of your educators?
Yes, Lou actually called the woodshed his home dungeon for 3 years.
Wow.
Maybe four, when he was living here in Orlando. He had to go back to Seattle probably a full year ago when his mother fell ill, and he was the one of the family chosen to go to go be with her. And he hasn't settled on where he's going to actually settle now that he's freed up again. So we're telling him, hey, you know, Woodshed still loves you. Orlando still loves you.
Well,
you
cheap
flights in and out of anywhere to Orlando.
You are doing fantastic work there in Orlando for the community and your local space and place. It's amazing. We want to thank you for being with us today, Cecil. So anything else you need to or want to share with our listeners?
Well, I'd want to share that it's a team. You know, yeah, I'm the leader of the pack, but it's a bloody team that puts this together, and it's a damn fine team, and it's a team of people that I'm really blessed to call friend and family. It's a team effort, and we put it on, you know, every weekend, you know, week in and week out, as a team effort, as a family that just has a love for the community and a love for education. I can't give enough credit to those people that show up here for absolutely no paycheck or absolutely nothing at all. We feed them dinner. You know, that's what they get out of this.
Well, they get so much more than just the nourishment of their bodies, I'm sure. It's the nourishment of their spirits that they're really getting from you and from the space.
It's quite a community you've formed. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm really impressed with what it's become, because it's been so far and above what we ever thought it would be. And it humbles me every time I think about it, that what I started off as something that would augment the local communities and give them a place to play has actually become a local community. And it's scary, it's humbling, but it keeps me humble, and that's good, because sometimes that's a hard job.
Well, keep up the good work.
You have been listening to episode 32 of the Kinky Cast. Today we featured Master Cecil of the Woodshed in Orlando. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody and the Beast, I'm Max. See you next week when we hear from Ernest Green and Nina Hartley.